Welcome to Insights into Insurance from the A-Team at Americana Insurance Group. All information provided is educational in nature and not intended to be acted upon without first consulting the appropriately licensed professional.
A Saturday morning means it is time for our Insights into Insurance program. As usual at this time on every Saturday morning as we continue to talk about the insurance industry and give you some insights. Mike Whitus along with Tom Sorensen from Americana Insurance. A good morning to you, Tom.
Well, good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
You can take your parka off this morning, Tom. It's not really that cold out, but I've noticed through your Zoom meeting that you're wearing a parka. So
it's that's part of my social distancing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Let's kick off our show.
By the way, happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Yes.
For tomorrow, or I shouldn't say everybody, to all the moms.
And Tom, I appreciate that that gift that you put in my backyard along my foundation for my May Day basket. I haven't had a chance to push that along your way either.
Yeah, well, if anybody wants to look at Facebook, we can't really talk about it over the phone. But
no.
Yeah. So anyway.
It was Tom that did it. I found that out.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we better get on to the topic here, Mike.
Yes, they don't want to hear us talk. And some of the topic is going to be, why is there a meat shortage, Tom? And this is really a hot topic.
Yeah, it is. You know, as a lot of customers or clients and people that go into, let's say, out to our local Hy-Vee or wherever, they might be seeing, stores are limited amount of meat individuals can purchase. And just the other day, I think it was, Wednesday, I was actually at a fast food restaurant here in Albert Lee going through the fast food, and I noticed that they don't sell double cheeseburgers or triple cheeseburgers. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. So, and on Facebook, I've been seeing a bunch of discussion about meat shortage, and I realized how many people do not understand what is happening. So I feel it's something that we could do is try to educate the general public on this.
Very key point.
Yeah, and tell them what's going on. And for us to do that, I have brought in, I would say, more of an expert into this industry. It's Jason Ross, who is the director, Iowa Pork Industry Center at Iowa State University. Good morning, Jason.
Yes, thanks for having me, Tom. Good to be with you.
Yeah. Can you give us a little bit of a description, Jason, of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So, I'm a professor at Iowa State University. I'm in a faculty member in the Department of Animal Sciences, and I also serve the university and the state of Iowa as the director of the Iowa Pork Industry Center. And the Iowa Pork Industry Center is really kind of our university unit or center that kind of finds the collaborative activities across all the departments at Iowa State within the College of Agriculture, within the College of Veterinary Medicine, and finds the synergies where faculty that have programs that work with swine and with the swine industry can work together to help serve the industry and help move the science forward for the industry. So we do a lot of collaborative research within Iowa State University, but we also have a lot of partnership projects that we do with pork producers across the country.
And Jason, there are a lot of folks that we want to educate them on this issue because meat shortage, maybe you can give us a little description of why and why there is an actual meat shortage on the pork side of things.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are spending a lot of time talking about this and they have a lot of good numbers, but I'll try to summarize really from a large picture point of view. So, you know, our U.S. packing capacity, so the meat packing plants that harvest market hogs in the United States can roughly harvest about 500,000 animals a day. And so when folks began to become ill, right, with the COVID-19 symptoms and, you know, because there's several thousand employees at many of the plants, that was a place that employees were starting to show COVID-19 symptoms and were testing positive. And as a result, right, the plants needed to kind of shut down the plants for a while and try to get the employees' health healthy and safe and get them back to work. And so because of the capacity of many of those plants, you know, as those came offline, you know, that really dramatically reduced the inventory or the number of animals that could be harvested each day. And so as that went on for a few weeks, you know, that backlog of animals that were ready to be harvested has really accumulated over time. So that's really the basis, right, of why, you know, we're starting to see that catch up, right? So there was meat in cold storage, there was meat on the shelves at the grocery stores, but as that gets purchased, that supply of product coming from the farmers to the plant to the consumer has had some disruptions as a result of the packing plant slowdown.
So basically what you're saying is there's the hogs are out there to be able to be harvested and processed, but because the kills aren't open and they aren't, so the availability is they just don't get to our grocery store in the numbers that would normally happen. Is that correct?
Right. Right. Okay. That's correct. And so that's, you know, and that's kind of been accumulating the last few weeks since the first plant had the went offline, and now some of those are coming back on. You know, we're just seeing this week several plants across Iowa and Minnesota are coming back online and trying to get back up. They're not at full capacity. They're at a reduced capacity right now, but
right.
They're getting back online and creating some relief there. So, you know, and there are, as you pointed out too, Tom, yeah, it's not a shortage of animals. Producers have plenty of market hogs that are ready to go. So right. It's just a matter of getting them into the plants and the plants operating at the level that they had been.
So what is Iowa State, your department, what are you guys doing to try to help this situation?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of the work that typically we do, you know, is, and we have several very excellent swine nutritionists in our department that are world-class swine nutritionists, right? And they spend their career on figuring out how to, you know, study nutrition and determine how we can help improve pig performance and efficiency of performance and average daily gain. And so really what we had to start thinking backwards a little bit, right? So typically we're producing pigs that are reaching market in the quickest time possible. But, you know, in this scenario, we needed to slow down the growth of pigs. And so we actually have, you know, Dr. Nick Gabler, John Patience, and Laura Greiner, the three of them had been working on developing resources for producers to help guide them on strategies that they could change nutritionally that would reduce the efficiency that the pigs are growing, right? So,
which is totally backwards of whatever they have done probably their entire life.
Yeah, absolutely, right? There's been tons of research dollars have funded projects to improve the efficiency and the rate of gain and market hogs, but we had to look a little differently at this scenario. And so, you know, we actually have had some webinars. We put out research reports the last 4 weeks. We put out a research report on this ongoing study that's evaluating some different diets to do that, and we try to get that into producers' hands so that they can make those adjustments, right? So that they can modify growth and do some different things that will hopefully buy them time that's needed till the plants get back up and running.
And Tom and Jason, maybe you can both chime in on this, but as a city slicker, so to speak, someone that lives in the city, maybe doesn't understand all of this, and they may see on the national news or the local news that there are thousands of hogs being euthanized because there's just nowhere to put them. And they're saying, well, how can you folks do that? There's got to be another avenue for those pigs. But in reality, there really isn't another avenue when you have that many hogs that you're euthanizing per day.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? And a lot of people do ask that question. And, you know, the thing about it is, Tom and Mike, the last thing that a producer who looks at their life's work as feeding the world and providing protein for the world, want to do is euthanize an animal, right? And so they...
Last resort.
It's a last resort, absolutely. And so many are, you know, they start slowing down growth and they look at alternative markets. There's been a ton of different things that have been pursued and that people look at. But at the end of the day, right, I mean, if it becomes a point where the number of animals in a facility, if they start growing, you can't slow their growth down. You can't stop them all the way.
Can't starve them.
You can't starve an animal. And the pig farmers I know, they care too much for the animals to do something that's going to compromise their health and well-being. So when it gets to the point where the situation does compromise the health and well-being of an animal, then it becomes a last resort. And that's really why we push the information that we can, right, is to help create as many different options, as make sure as many pig farmers know about the resources that are out there, to try to get them as much information to help them make the best decisions possible to avoid that. But in certain circumstances, it is unavoidable. It is a last resort.
Let's take our first break here as we're visiting with Jason Ross, director with the Iowa Pork Industry Center at Iowa State University, and Tom Sorensen with Americana Insurance. Guys, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Jason and Tom in regards to why is there a meat shortage, more or less, why is there a pork shortage. We'll continue with our Insights into Insurance program right after this.
Americana Insurance Group has been a leader in providing quality protection for customers in southern Minnesota and northern Iowa, with its roots dating back to 1899. Hi, this is Angela Collis. I'm excited to announce the opening of our new location in Wells, Minnesota. Americana Insurance always strives for total customer satisfaction and understanding our customers' coverage needs. We make sure that you are covered today. Stop by and see me in our new Wells office on Highway 109.
Americana Insurance. We're the A-Team.
Welcome back to our second part of our Insights into Insurance program on 1450 KATE in Albert Lea. We're happy to have Jason Ross, director of the Iowa Pork Industry Center at Iowa State University, as we're talking about meat shortage. And, of course, Tom Sorensen is with us with Americana Insurance. And, Jason and Tom, cost to the farmer is a huge issue right now.
Yeah, Mike, it's such a big deal. Call it right now is a perfect storm, and Jason, you can chime in here, but I mean, the farmer, the hog farmer, and we're talking hogs today because that's your industry, but this is also including beef cattle, this is chickens, turkeys, poultry, we did a show on dairy the other day about dumping milk and things, so they have feed costs, they have medicine costs, they have labor costs, cost of breeding, building temperature control, plus they aren't getting any payment for their pigs that if they don't, well, if they have to get to that last resort, and this is happening to some. Not all growers or not all owners of pigs are euthanizing pigs yet, okay? But just think of the ones that are. So they usually get a profit out of those hogs, or you hope to. And they're not getting that either. So now they're not only lost the dollars for the pigs, but they've lost all what they put into that pig. So that's kind of a tough deal. Plus, it also hurts the grain farmer, okay, because the grain is not as needed because that's what grain does, is feeds livestock. So it's a perfect storm. Do you agree with me there, Jason?
Yeah, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there, Tom. There's a lot of fixed costs that go into pork production that when you can't move animals and you can't market them, not only do you not recover the fixed costs, but you're not making a profit, right? So
right.
So there was already just due to the inventory, this was not a great season right now for livestock producers and for pork farmers, but you know the added strain that the COVID-19 situation has brought on is tremendously significant. As you said, it's a perfect storm, and so so there are a lot of strategies, right? So that's some of the information we try to get out to producers, our strategies to minimize those losses, right? So
yeah, and it's great information, Jason, because I've been watching your webinars, and like the first one was out after 2 weeks of, and then you guys were trying to show data of 2 weeks, because basically, why would you ever have had data for trying to grow a smaller hog?
right,
to hold back the growth. So all of a sudden, now you got, I saw, I think it was yesterday, or the day before, you did a webinar, and you got 4 weeks of data now to show what you're doing. And there's a lot of different things that can be done to do that. And I just want to compliment you guys for doing this. This is a big deal, and you're really serving the hog community very well.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, normally, you know, the way things function in a research program at a university, right after you run the project, you would write up a manuscript and you'd publish that in a peer-reviewed journal, right? And so this situation was a little more rapid. And as we discussed that internally, right, you know, how do we get this information out real time? Because producers are making decisions, you know, daily regarding how they're going to manage this current crisis. And so they're seeking accurate information so they can make the best decision that they can make at the time that they have to make it. And so we decided, you know what, we need to get this information out right away, and we need to get it out regularly. And so we were sending it out every Tuesday, and this last week we collected some additional data at the four-week time point for that study, and so we didn't send it out till Wednesday, but we were getting text messages on Wednesday morning. When are you going to send out the new week's worth of data? So it is something that producers are anticipating, and it is providing value to them, and because they need as many tools in their toolbox as we can provide right now.
And of course, Jason, if they want to, the farmers are not locked in with the Extension Service out of Iowa State University. How do they go about getting on those webinars? Is there a web address that they can?
That's right. Yeah, you could go to www.ipic.iastate.edu. We actually have a webinar tonight. I know this will air Saturday, so this is going to be the webinar that occurred last Thursday. But that one, after we run that, we'll post that up on our website, and we actually have discussion tonight on resilience, mental resilience during the era of COVID-19. So that's another resource, right? Because this is a strain on producers that is uncommon, right? It's uncommon stress on much of society right now, just due to the COVID-19, but a significant strain on producers, and so we just want to make sure that we're providing the resources for that as well, right? So,
and I'm not a farmer, as I mentioned earlier. I grew up in the city, but the good news of all of this, obviously, the pork industry is hurting, but the farmers were able to get out into the fields, get their corn in for the most part, get the soybeans in. So the crop farmers, at least they're having some relief, and I say some, getting the crops in the field. But that's a long road ahead. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a matter, we don't know how long that tunnel is going to be.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, despite all the stress, Mike, that's going on right now, there's a program in Iowa called Pass the Pork. And so, you know, folks can go online and donate financial resources to this program, the Pass the Pork program. And pig farmers are donating pigs to this program so that those animals can be harvested and provided to food banks across the state and to needy families. So it's, you know, despite all the stress and the economic strain that's happening right now for producers, they're still looking for a way to have a positive impact on consumers and on our state and country.
And as always, Tom, they can get a hold of you at Americana Insurance at 377-2000. If they want to talk to you personally, you just hit number 2, go on to americana.com. And you also have, if someone has some questions, Tom, you have an email there for our Insights into Insurance program.
That's right, insights@americanainsurance.com. And if they want to re-listen to this program, to get more information, to hear it again, go to our website, and it'll be posted on probably Monday.
AmericanaInsurance.com. Jason, thank you for all the work you're doing. Keep up the good work, and do I dare say, go Cyclones?
Yeah, you bet.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, yeah. Tom, on our Insights into Insurance program. We went a little long today, but you know what? Very informational program. That'll wrap up this Saturday edition of our Insights into Insurance program here on KATE.
You've been listening to Insights into Insurance from the Americana Insurance Group. All information provided is educational in nature and not intended to be acted upon without first consulting the appropriately licensed professional.